Zalango, this is Connecticut Taco. What you're about to hear is a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation that was first aired Saturday, February 23rd, 2002 at 11:30 p.m. entitled The Human Rights Patrol, Part 57, Cortez and the Conquistadors. Your host will be out of Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, runaway slave, Kaka Mbana Kintako. Have a pleasant flight.
Sam does know he owes our folk a big time debt. He knows
his lights. Can't help him. Truth, our weapon will collect. We're talking reparations. That's right, we know we are old. Cause for 11 generations in here we were bought in. So see, this crook called Sam did come up when he made our folks his slaves. His posse did the same in Europe, and yes, they too must pay. But lesson the mind, know thyself will help us all move forward. We're taught it will teach us by self to rise to tote the torch. Like those days we were to beat down, yet unhooked from our souls. Seeking truth will turn that around with a human rights patrol.
People's Choice, Human Rights Radio, giving praise to our uncreated creator for allowing us to be with you for our 4,600 and that would be 31st night of broadcasting in the place to be with we out of the Criminal Enterprise God, Springfield, Illinois. Is war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, co-producer of the Human Rights Radio Internet co-creation we call the Human Rights Patrol. Dot Iconatic and Taco and Zalango to you over there.
Zalango.
Well, sister, it's time for volume number...
57?
Volume number 57 of the Human Rights Patrol coming up out of the Criminal Enterprise, God, Springfield, Illinois, the Human Rights Radio Network, on to the Human Rights Information Network that's spanning the globe at this point. And what we got to do at this point is stop and give a shout-out to those many stations and folks up and down the Human Rights Information Network that make it possible for so many folks to hear the Human Rights Patrol.
First, let's say Zalango to Human Rights Radio at 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Yahuru, and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Decatur, Illinois, at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, Brown by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP, in the Criminal Enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew, and at 96.3 FM in the Criminal Enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, run by Paul Griffin and the crew, and to our newest listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Dade County, Florida, at 102.9 FM, Zalango. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible, and also invite all of you to check us out on the World Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
Thought you might have ran out of fuel and flight there for a minute, warrior. Yeah, we want to especially give a shout out to the folks that make it possible for y'all to hear the Human Rights Patrol, and that might be what it takes to keep them going and encouraging them to provide the information. And, you know, we're going to deal with the issue tonight, these Europeans getting up out of Europe and stealing from people, and because that's they come up. And ain't no trip, ain't no sense in tripping on it, man. I mean, you know, look at all the damage they've done to folks with all the lies they've made up about us, African people and other people of the planet, to take from us the things that they have taken. So we're going to bring some truth here. And like El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, mentor, teacher, warrior, Malcolm X, and I don't mean on a personal level, but through the things that we've learned of the elder, Malcolm X, he said, you know, that we can run this dog down the street with the truth. And that's all we're going to bring. So we're going to talk about Spain tonight. Know that England came up off of Spain. See, Europeans got a history of cannibalizing each other. And once Spain got up, England cannibalized them. Now, we're going to deal with the time that Spain was ruled by the conquistadors after they actually got some knowledge. Now, we know who they got their knowledge from, and we're going to talk about that. I've asked the co-producer of the Human Rights Patrol, Dada Kanati, to hang around here for a minute inside with a microphone nearby so she can share with y'all a resource that you can use to kind of like get a little early history on Spain. When I first come across this piece of research, and those of you listening to the Human Rights Radio Network, you've probably heard us use this a number of times, but, you know, we want to put it again out here for the record for the new folks that's now coming into the learning thing we do here at Human Rights Radio. It's from, tell them the vitals, if you would, please, on this particular piece of information. You won't believe it. No, they won't, will they? But we get our information from anywhere. Here we go. What is it?
It's from the National Geographic, the 7th month of 1988, volume 174, number 1. And the article is entitled, When the Moors Ruled Spain, by Thomas Abercrombie.
A very prestigious name there, Thomas Abercrombie, right? Anyhow, check this out. What page did I start on?
86.
Page 86. Now, what this piece... Thank you very much, Donna Canati. Before we get away, would you remind the folks of that source in case some try to act like they didn't hear it? Because we do have to make them clear about that. And she's going to make her way now to keep track of how much time we're going to have, because I hope I don't spend too much time running off at the mouth and don't get the kind of tape I want to share with you. We got a program from the History Channel called The Conquistadors. And it was called The Conquistadors. We call this Cortez and the Conquistadors, but we could have called it simply The Conquistadors, because we're basically going to deal with, you know, how the Spanish went out. Now, the article there that Canati gave you information about the vitals on is basically shows you how in 711 A.D., that's like from 2002 here, about, you know, like, 1,300 or something close to 1,300 years ago. 1,300 years ago, something close to that. Those cats out of Africa called the Moors went across into Spain from Morocco. And that's like crossing a major street here in the criminal enterprise called the United States. That's how close Africa and Europe is. A cat named Tariq took the Muslim soldiers up through there. They call them Moors, or, you know, the Black Moors. And Europe still got this saying in England, beware of the Moor at night, because they were mopping them Europeans, man. I don't, you know, there's some things that they brung to Europe, I think, well, we'll get to that at another point. But basically, they set upside down the European philosophy of things. They took over Europe and Spain, and they ran it all the way to 1492. Now, a lot of things happened in 1492. You know, they left Spain. That boy Cristobal Colón came to this hemisphere. You know what I'm saying? And also the Moors, upon leaving Spain, they sacked Shanghai, which is another program in and of itself. We ain't going to talk about that right now. We're going to talk about what happened in Spain. After the Muslims left, the Christians, the Europeans took it back over. First thing they did was outlaw the bathtub. They wasn't having that no more. They were really mad about that. And they did. They did. The Catholic Inquisition came on. And then all of a sudden up out of there came these conquistador-type cats. They start rolling on the planet, you know, stealing from people under the Christian thing, you know what I mean? That's the real. That's the real. And at the time, Spain and Portugal were the two European big dogs of the pack, right? They were scrapping over everything, and the Pope was selling fights with them, like in 1455, 1492. They was always fighting over other people's stuff because they didn't have none on their own. Well, they take these cats called conquistadors. Now, we get this notion of these hunkies getting in this boat, and I say hunkies because white people know, I know they know, that when the word white is spoken, it does not mean white, because there are no people that are white. It means right people. It means better than black people. That's what it means. Never wrong people. Miss Fancy Pants and Mr. Know-It-All. So in the Human Rights Radio Network, as a part of my responsibility as a deprogramming director, we use the word hunky. And if white folks are really concerned about African people restoring ourselves, they really won't take no offense. If they do get upset, they'll go watch Good Times or something. They say, well, you know, hey, well, go around, do come around, right? Well, anyhow, you get the impression that these white folks, hunkies, get on the boat over in Europe and say, let's go steal some people, you know? But that's not how it happened. Them boats got stocked with Europeans that didn't have nothing happening. It was like the merchant class would come out and give them some shoes and stuff and say, you want to be with me? You know, give them some sandwiches and stuff. And they would go for that. Now, I'm going to get this from this program called Conquistadors. And that's how we're going to pick it up. How did they posse up to go around the planet to Spanish, right? We'll deal with the Portuguese too, but we're going to deal with the Spanish right now. But the Portuguese came in 1441. First to Africa, but we're going to deal with the Spanish because, you know, they influences is big time, man. Here we go.
Cortez and many of his soldiers in the Aztec conquest come from Extremadura, a hot, barren region in the southwest of Spain, ruled by oppressive overlords and plagued with drought.
The conquistadors wanted independence from petty lords and princes and bishops to whom the commoners had to pay taxes. They also had a sense of adventure. They wanted to see the world. But they're a contrast in terms, because they could also be unspeakably cruel to people. Many of them were veterans of wars in Italy, where there was no quarter taken in their battles.
They tended to represent all levels of society except the upper nobility, and they were not soldiers in the employ of the crown. Rather, they were men who simply had nothing to lose and brought a number of specific skills with them to the Americas. All of them knew how to handle a sword.
The conquistadors are organized as independent corporations. Each man enlists for a term and expects to earn a share of the profits in accordance with what he contributes.
The Spanish crown did not really supervise these ventures, and it certainly did not finance them. These expeditions were called compañías in Spanish, companies. The prime movers of the expeditions, in many ways, were the merchants, who were always established behind the lines, lending the men all sorts of provisions and goods, and even providing money for the building of ships. And many of them, including Hernando Cortes, the leader of the expedition to Mexico, owed a lot of money to these merchants. And so the conquistadores are not soldiers in an army. They are paid nothing, and they are free agents, in a way. Pirates, in the sense that they are out to get what they can.
They're temporary workers, right? Okay, we ready to posse up and steal these people's stuff. Y'all with us? What you steal? We want a big percentage because we're going to have some boys with us that going to put some swords, you know, going to get your back, right? So y'all got to like, right? Y'all got to be with us, right? That's what they're saying, right? So the conquistadors, now what did they say these cats came from, these conquistadors? They came from Spain where they didn't have no food. They had like, the big white folks was beating them down. Now, I don't know where in the world they got this notion. You know, we've been beat down like dogs. We ought to go see the world. Get out of here, man. They went because those oppressive overlords sent them. You know, like if you read USA Today, February 21st, 2002, right? The article on reparations there, front page, right? You see where they bought us and rented us out the railroads. You know what I'm saying? And that's how they had them in Europe, man. Okay. Now we're going to go and deal with the issue of, you know, wait a minute. What happened here? Did I already put it in? Good. Okay. Okay, they came from a part where they didn't have nothing happening. And the king didn't finance it. And in what they were called companías, each soldier was called a compañía, right? What's a compañía? Company. That's silly, ain't it? But see, we got to look at the Virginia colony as the Virginia Company. There were 13 original companies. Warrior Phil Valentine, metaphysicist warrior, he be telling us that we got to know that the U.S. is a corporation. The state you in is a corporation. You got to know this. Okay, you don't got to know it. All right. If you lost for the lack of knowledge, it's because you're going to turn away from it here. It ain't because we ain't going to be giving it up, okay? Now we're going to pick up a little bit more on the background of where these caballeros come from. They give them fancy names, but they was nothing but glorified wage slaves. It's fighting for biscuits and stuff, man. Okay? Here we go. This is a little conversation about what they do before the fight, and then they get to reminiscing about, we didn't have nothing to eat back home, man. That's why we're here.
By early afternoon, the squads of conquistadors find time to eat at the lake shore. They will need it. The men will be engaged in nearly 12 hours of fighting in the desolated city. The one hardship the conquistadors won't have to face is starvation. Though riches and gold may be elusive, they feast on the food produced by the Indians.
We make this woman's service what food she has. Beans, maize, squash, tomatoes, and chiles. In Spain, we were lucky if we even had enough wheat to last half a year, after which we starved. Even this fat little dog is surprisingly tasty. With our Spanish vinegar and olive oil, we make it even better.
The conquistadors must have been amazed at the food that they came across. Food that you and I take for granted, such as corn, beans, and squash, was unheard of in Europe at the time. Mexican dishes such as enchiladas, tacos, tamales, these particular meals had been around in that country for thousands of years, and for the Europeans to come across this type of cuisine was just amazing.
The ghetto, you know that song there? The ghetto, that's Europe, right? Dude cities, you crazy, man. Them cats was over there fighting for them fast food sandwiches, man. They ain't never had no food like that in Europe, right? What they say? What they say? Things that you take for granted, like corn and squash, you know? Hey, you know? Right? What they say that about in Europe? Say, man, we'd be lucky if we had enough wheat to last how long? Half a year. Then what they say they did for the rest of the year? They starved. Okay? That is not a promising, you know? You don't get to thinking about, you know what we ought to do, guys? We ought to travel the world. You be saying, give us this day our daily bread. That's what you be praying all the time, right? That's where they got that from. See, they hunted all day. They fished all day. They farmed all day. And when they sat down to eat, they said, give us this day our daily bread. And this is why, what the conquistador cat's telling you, because they never had enough food in Europe. So when they talking about posse up on somebody, all you can have, all you can steal, man, they probably did beat them off the boats. Get back. We got all we need, right? What are you going to do, stay there and starve? Huh? Right? All right. Okay, we're still going to roll on dealing with the conquistadors. Yeah, well, that's what we're going to do, keep on dealing with the conquistadors. Now, what happened at the end of the fight when it came down to dividing up everything?
The city continues to blaze, but we have made it back to shore. Though I have fought battles on two continents, nothing could have prepared me for such an apocalypse.
The fighting only stops with the capture of the last Aztec emperor, Cuauhtémoc, Moctezuma's nephew. After 3 months, the longest continuous battle ever recorded in military history is finally over.
From the dark, a figure approaches me. I brace for what is surely my last battle. But to my surprise, it is the captain. He hands me a sack of coins.
The final take from the last 3 months of the war is estimated to be less than 200,000 pesos. A fifth of that sum is paid to the crown. Cortes takes 29,600 pesos from the remainder. The financiers of the expedition are to be paid off in measure, but graft and kickbacks are obvious in the accounting. Numerous payments ranging between 2,000 and 3,000 pesos go to lawyers, secretaries, bodyguards, and other associates. The average foot soldier is left in debt.
They had been forwarded great sums of cash for these expeditions at high interest rates, and they had very little alternative but to return with a good deal of gold, so that they could repay their creditors and then also become rich.
The final booty left by the conquest was an amount of less than $5 million. That was insignificant for the ambitions of all the soldiers who participated in more than 2 years of conquest.
The Spaniards' objective originally had been gold, but by the end of this campaign, there had been little to be found. Nobody knew what had become of it. Moctezuma's treasure was almost completely lost. Then Cortes decided to turn on his own allies and began to extort what gold he could out of even the people who had helped him bring down the Aztec Empire.
Officials begin to arrive from both Cuba and Spain with contradictory papers of authority over the new lands. Accusations of cheating and embezzlement are leveled against Cortes. Eventually, the wrangling for power over what will be called New Spain escalates to such a level that even the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V and Pope Adrian enter into a dispute.
The officers are each paid 400 pesos, but we foot soldiers know that they have been secretly amassing loot throughout the war. When it is all over, I am given 60 pesos, barely the price of a sword.
You see what the foot soldier got in that situation? At the end of all that stealing, Cortes, now that was this story we got all the information from the History Channel. It's called Conquistadors. But it was dealing with how Cortes and his posse went up and beat down the Aztecs, man, for gold, man. They was like, you know, They's like, they come up talking this God thing, told the Aztec people they God, they Bible told them this. So the chief said, like, hey, I don't hear that book talking, man. That's stupid. He threw it on the ground. They talking about, oh, you threw our Bible down. We got to fight now, you know. Well, they know that's why they came, right? But in the end, the average foot soldier in the conquistadors got enough money out 2 years of fighting with Cortez and the Aztecs to get another sword. So when they posse'd up again, get his butt right back in line to go do the dirt for the rich folks. That's what they do today. If you check out these boy soldiers today, he be making them buy their uniforms, everything. But do you think they changed? Man, they still as devoted as they, you know what I'm saying? Always devoted. I'm telling you, these soldiers, man, it don't matter what they're doing. If you're dealing with a soldier boy, don't let them come into college with you. Don't let them do nothing with you, because once a soldier, they always a soldier. They sent a soldier after me in the fall of 2000. So I know how they do that, man. And I told him when he first got there, okay, well, here's how we're going to work this move, fool. And he's still trying to run around and tell his commander that he tricked him, Banner. Psych, never that, fool. All right, anyway, stupid conquistador. I bet he don't get his disability pension. All righty then. It's time for us to talk to Dada Kanati over there. Zalango to you again, warrior.
Zalango.
Would you give the people that piece of information we shared with them, you know, about what happened in Spain before the Catholic Church took over? You know what I'm saying? Before that, right? And that's this article on tourism. Actually, it's an article on tourism. It's a trip. They got a lot of information on early Spain. Check out the pictures in that article if you get it too, man. Because there's some outfits that them boys was wearing back in the day in Seville, Spain, that appeared right after the Civil War in this land, wore by the Klan. Isn't that interesting? Check it out. It's in that picture there. All right, give them the vitals if you will, Warren.
It's from the National Geographic, the 7th month, 1988, volume 174, number 1. And it's entitled, When the Moors Ruled Spain, by Thomas Abercrombie.
All right, when we get back into the Spanish thing again, what we'll probably deal with is how the British took them out, man. The British dirty worked them. Was stealing their ships and stuff, you know? And the Spanish couldn't do nothing about it, man. Because the Lodge stopped backing them, right? They still, I don't know what the real was about it, but, you know, that was a European thing, how they dirty worked each other. The word fratricide come from Europeans doing each other up. That's why Africans, you can't be tripping on how they dirty work you, right? But get that article from USA Today, February 22nd, 2002. I mean, 21st, 2002. There's two articles, one right on the front page. Don't trip on all them Negroes in there about the reparations thing, because we talked with Dr. Robert Brock, who's been in the thing with the Self-Determination Committee since 1965. They said these Negroes is new on the case and put up there by a boss man. But check out also page 17A. There's a really good discussion about why y'all, you know, even if you take what this country has done to African people since the so-called Civil War, that ain't nothing nice, right? There's good information there in the involvement of companies. Oh, basically, that article is to take the focus off of Uncle Sam. You know, the Negroes want to get a few chicken dinners from these white companies, but they don't really want to help African people. And if they want to promote the boy Cochran there better, why don't they talk about how he represented the government when he was supposed to be representing Brother Geronimo Pratt, right? Okay? And how he said he thought Geronimo might have been hallucinating when he said the government was trying to set him up back in the day when they accused him of shooting a woman he was 300 miles away from by the government's own evidence. All right? But check out that article because it got good information in it, and they get to say things that people like me can't say to certain folks and get them to see what this wicked government is all about. All right, Kanati, shout out to those stations that make it possible for so many folks to hear the Human Rights Patrol across the criminal enterprise called the United States and around the planet Earth.
We're going to say Zalango to Human Rights Radio at 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Yohuru and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Decatur, Illinois, and 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, Brown by Brother Lavelle. Also, to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP, in the Criminal Enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbert and the crew. And at 96.3 FM in the Criminal Enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Let us also shout out to the folks who listen to Berkeley Liberation Radio, run by Paul Griffin and the crew. And to our newest listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Dade County, Florida, at 102.9 FM, Zalango. And at this time, let me remind you, wherever you're listening, to thank those who made it possible. And also invite all of you to check us out on the World Wide Web at www.radio.about.com. Look for the Human Rights Information Network. Click on and hear even more Human Rights Radio.
You know, to get your human rights, you're going to have pride in what the Creator made you to be, okay? And you're going to have to try your dangest to be true to that. and then you get your human rights, because that's called accepting your human responsibilities. You don't know what you're supposed to do until you know who you are. And we were reminded of the old saying, design denotes function, right?
Right.
Shout out to those folks that make it possible for you to hear the Human Rights Patrol. Kanadi, thanks for the assistance. We call this Cortez and the Conquistadors. They did dirty work to the Aztec people after they treated them like they had some, you know, like they were decent. And that's everybody. Everybody they encountered the Europeans' dirty work. That's why they're going to face my yacht. We're in our 4,631st night of broadcasting here in the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois. And in the studios with us tonight, out of the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, is war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, co-producer of the Human Rights Radio Network, Internet co-creation. We call the Human Rights Patrol, volume number 57. I'm talking about Dada Kanadi Kintako. I'm Abana Kintako. Again, 4,631st night of broadcasting. And you're listening to The People's Choice, because the people choose to listen to the Human Rights Information Network.
We will remember the humanity.
We will remember the humanity.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
Glory and sufferings of our ancestors.
And honor the struggle of our elders. We will strive to bring new values.
We will strive to bring new values.
And new life to our people.
And new life to our people.
We will have peace and harmony among us.
We'll have peace and harmony among us.
We will be loving.
We'll be loving.
Sharing.
Sharing.
And creative.
And creative.
We will work.
We will work.
Study.
Study.
And listen.
And listen.
So we may learn.
So we may learn.
Learn so we may teach.
Learn so we may teach.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will struggle to resurrect.
And unify our homeland.
We will raise many children for our nation. We will have discipline. Patience. Devotion.
Devotion.
And courage.
And courage.
We will live as models.
We will live as models.
To provide new direction for our people. We will be free and self-determinate. We are African people.
We are African people.
Aluta!
Aluta!
Continua!
Continua!
Kufala!